This is the Thursday Evening Plenary, December 29th, from Atlanta 05, the National Conference of InterVarsity's Black Campus Ministry. The conference theme is Identity Theft, Expose, Reclaim, Prevail. And this address by the Reverend Sam Pettigrew is entitled Heads and Tails. The Reverend Sam Pettigrew is Senior Pastor of Sardis Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, and a member of InterVarsity's Board of Trustees. His talk, Heads and Tails, discusses identity in relation to money and possessions.
I've seen people with a lot of money jump off buildings. And I've seen poor people with little or nothing ascend to heights unbelievable. Why? Because God is the one that blesses. And God is the one that sees to it that what he blesses is good in every particular aspect of our lives. Instead of us having our identity stolen, many of us are merely giving up our identity. We are giving it up to fast cars with Sprewell. We're giving our identity up to the latest fashions. Remember when we came out of slavery, they tried to take our identity. They wouldn't even allow us to learn how to read. And yet, grandmama with egg money established our colleges. Some of the colleges that you are going to right now was established by grandmama right out of slavery off egg money.
And now the Reverend Sam Pettigrew speaking at Atlanta 05.
The subject that I've been given for tonight is heads or tails. Whether we're going to be on top or on the bottom. And it has to do with blessings. How do we get our blessings? But it also has to do with curses. For everything about life is about decisions. You make a decision in every aspect of your life. And who you are will be determined by the decisions that you make. Your plot in life will be determined by the decisions that you make. As we look at your theme for this entire week, identity theft, I am reminded of myself and how I grew up in this city of Atlanta in the time of the movement, Dr. King, Dr. Abernathy, Dr. Searcy, Dr. King Sr., and so many others as we marched throughout Atlanta trying to get the kind of integration that would make us a better people. And I'm reminded that nobody was able to steal our identity. Not because we had a clear understanding of what our history was, but because we knew who we belonged to. For it was our position that you can't know who you are until you know whose you are. And in order to know whose you are, you have to understand who your creator is. The Lord God Jehovah, the maker of the ends of the earth. One of the things about our identity that we must come to understand and accept is the fact that God is our creator, our maker, our sustainer, the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, God is everything. He's the beginning and the end, and he knows the end from the beginning. God is everything. There is nothing that we need that he will not supply. And there is nothing that we could ever hope for or delight in if we delight in him that he would not give to us. If we understand who God is, then by faith we can believe that he is. For in order to please God, first of all, you must believe that God is. I went to Morehouse College, as some of you have, and other colleges, and one of the things that I ran into was my faith came under attack. My father was pastor of West Hunter Street Baptist Church before Dr. Abernathy. I grew up in the church. I knew who God was, and yet when I got to Morehouse, I became a skeptic. I became almost an agnostic. And in my philosophical training, I became a pantheist. And out of all of that, and in all of that, somehow God found me. Somehow he searched me out in the midst of my confusion and skepticism. For my sisters and brothers, no matter how your professors tell you that God does not exist, he does exist. And you come to know that he exists not because of the theological dissertations that you do with your mental exercises, but because somewhere God will arrest your life. Somewhere God will meet you in your most inopportune moment. Somewhere in the adversities of your life, there's a God who cares, who sits high, but he looks low. And he can save. He's able to save. And so it is that when we come to understand who God is and to look at his attributes and to look back in your life, you are not here because you've been so good. You are here because of the grace of God. I doubt if anybody in this room should be alive today. There's been something in your life that should have taken you out. But God has kept you here. Somebody ought to be grateful this evening that God has kept us alive through all of our trials and all of our tribulations. Well, if you don't know who you are, anybody can steal your identity. What are some of the things that steal our identity? I just want to speak to the material side. Because if we're going to be the head and not the tail, then we have to understand from the Old Testament to the New Testament what God is saying to us today. The first point I want to make is that as we read this scripture, we come to see that Moses, the very great prophet of the Lord, had taken the children of Israel from Egypt, and now they had been in the wilderness for over 40 years. Do you realize that they could have made that journey in 2 weeks? But it took them 40 years. But why did it take them 40 years? Because God didn't just want to get them to the promised land, but God wanted a people that belonged to him. When you know whose you are, you will know who you are. And when you know whose you are and that you belong to God, he will cause your character to be transformed into the image and likeness of him. I don't know why you're here, but I know why I'm here. I'm here because I have a message for you that God wants you to look just like him. God wants you to act just like him. God wants you to be holy just like him. I know you're having a good time, but you got to put good time aside if you want to be holy. You've got to put some of the actions that come with youth aside if you want to be holy. I'm here to tell you, you can't live any kind of way and be blessed by God. Moses, he's about to die now. And he can't go into the promised land because he has not glorified God. They were at the brook of Meribah, and there, instead of Moses giving God the credit for turning, bringing the water out of the rock, he slapped the rock as if he was bringing the water out of it. And I just want to say this, if you got anything, don't think you've got it because you are so good. If your parents are wealthy, don't think they're wealthy because they did it all by themselves. Moses has had to tell the children that you are not going to be the kind of people of prosperity that you think you are by going it on your own. But you've got to remember, Moses tells him, that I am the one that gives you the power to get wealth. I am the one that will bless you in the city and in the country. I'm the one that will bless your going out and your coming in. I'm the one that will give you much or give you little. But the quantity is not the question. It's the quality that's the question. A lot of us can have a lot and still be poor. And some of us can have a little and be richer than the richest man in the world. I've seen people with a lot of money jump off buildings. And I've seen poor people with little or nothing ascend to heights unbelievable. Why? Because God is the one that blesses. And God is the one that sees to it that what he blesses is good in every particular aspect of our lives. Well, how do I get to know this God? First of all, I have to be saved. I have to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And no matter what other people say to you and what other religions put before you, there is but one God. And there is but one Lord. And there is but one Son of God. And his name is Jesus Christ. And there is but one Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost is the one that enters our lives and bring into us all that God would have us to know. As we look at who we are, we must understand that salvation does not just begin with our faith, but it moves as a process into our sanctification and ultimately into our glorification. So as we look at who the head is going to be, I should submit to you that the head is he or she who accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The head is the one who knows how to use the things that God has given them for the purposes that God has set aside. The one who will be the head is the one who dwells in the divine providence of God, who knows that God has a prepared plan for them, and who's able to move with God in his divine destiny. If I'm going to be the head, I've got to understand this difference between blessings and curses. In the book of Deuteronomy, in this 28th chapter, we must understand that what Moses is doing here is recounting all of the blessings that God has put upon the people. He is recounting all of the laws, and I know that's an ugly word, but he's recounting all of the laws that God has given them from Mount Sinai to Mount Ebal, all the way through the wilderness of 40 years. He is recounting all the statutes and all the judgments and all the testimonies that God has wrought through his hands. He is recounting to the people for the last time his last will and testament that you must obey God. If you don't obey God, then the blessings that I have promised you will not be there, but instead will be the curses. God causes all of us to make a decision. And that decision is whether or not we are going to obey him and then receive the blessings, or whether we are going to disobey him and receive the curses. Well, let's look at why it is so important to God and to us that we understand what it means to be the head and not the tail. The head are the individuals who get the blessings. The tail are the individuals who don't. Now, as a people, instead of us having our identity stolen, many of us are merely giving up our identity. We are giving it up to fast cars with Sprewell. Do I know what I'm talking about? We're giving our identity up to the latest fashions. We think it's fashionable to be fashionable. we are giving it up to going to college to try to get a better job with, as the young lady said, all those zeros on the end. And Lord knows there's nothing wrong with that. But don't give up your identity for that. Because let me tell you, zeros behind your name doesn't mean a thing when it comes to judgment day. Because God is not going to ask you anything about what college you went to. But what he's concerned about is how many people have you brought into the kingdom. In my life, I've never failed at anything. When I was in college, I was working a full-time job, going to school, and married at the same time. When I got out of college, I went into real estate. And within a year, I was into a $2 million project right here in Atlanta. But that wasn't what God wanted me to do. He wanted me to preach his word and teach his word. So I had to make a sacrifice. And let me tell you, if you want to be blessed by God, you're going to have to make a sacrifice sometimes. And let me say to you that the best sacrifice that God wants is not your money, not even your time. He wants your life. And he wants your life full and completely. He doesn't want you to hold anything back. And there are some requirements when you come to the Lord. Now, there are many of us that are going to be blessed beyond understanding with material goods. But let me tell you, if you are blessed with material goods and those material goods don't have the right proposition to them, in other words, you don't have the right motive in getting them, then that which you have will have cranker worms, will have every kind of disease on it, will have every kind of curse on it. It'll go into one pocket and out of the other pocket. If your car don't break down, your washing machine will break down. Something is going to happen to take your money. God has a way. He said that the riches of the wicked are laid up for the righteous. In this book, Moses is giving them the last testimony, and he's saying to them that the reason that I want you to consider and observe and to diligently observe and diligently hear the voice of the Lord, diligently look at the word of God, and diligently I want you to observe and to do, I want you to keep all of the commandments that I have given to you. And he said, the reason I want you to do this is because we are a covenant people. We are a covenant people. Do you know what that means? That means that we, when we accept Jesus Christ, we enter into the same covenant that Abraham entered into. And when Abraham entered into the covenant, he was the lesser and God was the greater. So God couldn't swear by Abraham, so he swore by himself. And then God became the surety for the covenant. Do you know what surety means? That means if Abraham doesn't do it, God's going to do it anyway. And that means if we can't keep the covenant, God's going to keep it anyway. Why? Because Jesus Christ died and he became our surety so that if we don't keep the covenant, Jesus will keep the covenant. Oh, what a God we have. What an awesome God we have that has made a way out of no way for us. That blesses us in spite of ourselves. That even in the midst of our adversity and in the midst of our rebellion and in the midst of our going astray, God still loves us. He loved us so much that he died for us. What a God we serve. Moses said that we are covenant people. And God stands beneath us. He stands beneath the covenant. And in his covenant, he says, I got some blessings for you, but I also have some curses for you. Now, don't misunderstand the curses. See, the law was given not to give us eternal life, but the law was given that it might be a teacher for us. The law is our teacher. And what a wonderful teacher it is. The law is a gift to us. A lot of us say we don't live under law anymore. We live under grace. But don't you know grace has its own law? I mean, grace doesn't give you up to lawlessness and ungodliness. Grace has its own law. You got to love one another. You've got to do unto others as you would do unto yourself. You've got to love your neighbor as yourself. You've got to love in spite of. You've got to love with agape love. You can't just love with eros love and filial love. You've got to love with agape love. Agape love says, I love you no matter what you do to me. And you got to forgive. Grace has its own law. Has its own law. Jesus said, I didn't come to annihilate the law. I didn't come to deny the law, but I came to fulfill the law. And I leave you a new law. And that is, you got to love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Sisters and brothers, it's time out playing religion. Your generation can no longer afford to play with religion. You've got to be the real church. Because if you don't become the real church, we don't have a prayer in this world. Let me tell you why. Because our nation is going down. Our nation is going down. Let me tell you, our nation is going down. How is it going down? We are taking God out of everything. We are taking the Ten Commandments out of everything. When they came to Birmingham and down in Montgomery, and Judge Moore decided that he wanted to put the Ten Commandments in the rotunda of the Justice Building. I had some problems with that because I know Judge Moore doesn't really believe in the God that I believe in. I had some problems with that, but whether I had problems with it or not, the fact of reality is that we are taking God out. We're no longer the kind of law-abiding individuals and community that we used to be. At one time, you didn't hear about us killing each other in the amounts of young men that are being killed. We didn't have more kids in jail than we have in college. Something is happening to us as a people. We are losing our identity off drugs and off sex and promiscuity and all kind of other things. Somewhere, we've got to turn this thing around. And my sisters and brothers, it's up to you now. We criticize the old church and what the old church didn't do. But tell me, what are you going to do? Many of us have done the best that we could with what we had. And that's what God is asking everybody to do. If you got more, you got to do more. Let me take you back just a little while. If you want to be blessed, remember when we came out of slavery, they tried to take our identity. They wouldn't even allow us to learn how to read. And yet, grandmama with egg money established our colleges. Some of the colleges that you are going to right now was established by grandmama right out of slavery off egg money. And here our mothers and fathers now are with corporate America, $100,000, $200,000, $1 million a year, and our colleges are closing day and night. Something is happening. Something is happening to us. We are losing our identity. And what Moses is trying to say is that if you forget God, you will forget. He will forget you. If you don't make the right decisions, what are these blessings? The blessings are under the covenant. God says to the Old Testament, he says, I'm not going to give you all of the visions of this new heaven and this new earth, this kingdom to come, this thing called eternal life. I'm not giving you all that. What I am giving you, though, is some temporal blessings so that other nations around can see that you belong to me. And that I'm a God that can make rain come on your fire. I'm a God that can make your calves give. I'm a God that can make your womb excited. I'm a God that can bring every good thing to you. I'm a God that'll run your enemies away. I'm a God that will frustrate all of your people that come against you. I'm a God that will show how your hands can walk and your fingers can fight. I'm a God that sometimes will fight your battle for you. I'm a God that can bless you going in and bless you coming out. I'm a God that can bless your mind and bless your soul. I'm a God that can make you rich when you have little and make you in poverty when you have much. I'm that kind of God. I'm your creator. And so the blessings are not for us to get all pumped up about. And let me tell you why. Because just because you get blessed does not mean you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I know somebody in here has struggled with this. You struggle with it. You've been worrying about all those folks that are billionaires, and they are using their money for pleasure. And you can come to our own community and you can see the drug pushers and the rap artists and all the rest of them, how big they live. And yet how miserly they live. And you're wondering, here I am, a student, trying to do right. And sometimes all I have is wieners and sausage and neck bones. And here I am coming to InterVarsity, and I've been up here all week and praising God, and I'm going back home and don't seem like I'm going to have much more when I get there. And yet the wicked out here, they are enjoying everything. And then you tell me I ought to trust in God. Yes, you ought to trust in God. No matter what, because let me tell you, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Now be ye envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be. They'll be cut off. And when they get cut off, I'm going to be right there to gather up all the spoil. It might take me a little while, but I'm going to be there. Why? Because I'm going to be faithful to God. And I know something else that they don't know. That there's another life after this life. And if I don't get it down here, I will get it up there. Oh, wait a minute, Rev. Wait a minute, Rev. That's that pie in the sky religion again. Yeah, but my honey and my dear brother, if you don't have some pie somewhere, you don't have any pie down here, you better hope it's some pie somewhere. And my God tells me that he will supply my every need. Am I right about it? He will supply my every need. You might not have everything you want, but you're here, aren't you? How do you think you got here? God made a way for you. And when I look back over my life, went to my first church and only church, making $500 a month with $1,400 a month worth of bills. But God made a way. And then I tithe. See, one of the first things you got to realize, not only in your requirement, but if you want to really be a blessed child, is you have to tithe. Yeah, you say tithe and not in the New Testament. Yes, it is. Jesus said that you do all of the tithing, but you leave the weightier matters of the law undone. And remember, I told you that the law of God is our teacher. And the law of God says, thou shalt not steal. So whoever got that stuff, you bring it back. And the other law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the other law said, thou shalt have no other God before me. And another law said, thou shalt not commit a fornication. And another law says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or thy neighbor's house or anything that thy neighbor has. And let me tell you, sisters and brothers, those laws are not violated. They are still in order. Because grace just comes along and affirms what God has already said. I know we want to get away from the law because we know we can't keep the law. But Jesus knew we couldn't keep the law, so he fulfilled the law. Did y'all hear me? He fulfilled the law. You know what he did? He took all my sins. All the sins that I ever committed and all the sins I ever will commit. And when he went to Calvary, he took them on his back. And he went and died for me. And guess what? He died for you as well. And now that he is resurrected for our justification, then we understand that the righteousness in which we walk is not our righteousness, but it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I know that I'm a sinner that's been saved and being sanctified. And one day I'm going to be glorified. I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I shall yet be. I'm still in the process. And so are you. But you have to get on the right road and you have to make the right decision. If you want to be blessed, then you've got to understand who owns everything. What Moses was trying to teach them in the blessing is that God owns everything. The Bible tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And all they that dwell therein, he established it upon the floods, and he founded it upon the seas. It all belongs to him. And when we understand that what we have does not belong to us, it belongs to him, we are just stewards. And if we use the stewardship righteously, how do we use stewardship righteously? It means that no matter what you have, you've got to use it to the best of your ability. If you have a little, use it. There was a man that had 5 talents, another 2, and another 1. The man with 5, he doubled his. The man with 2, he doubled his. But the man who had 1, he went and hid his. And when the master came back, he said, what have you done with what I gave you? Because, sisters and brothers, Job told us that we come into this world with nothing, and we shall leave this world with nothing. Bill Gates is quoted to be the richest man in the world. But when they bury him, none of his diamonds and none of his money is going in that grave. His wife gonna have that. So you got to use it while you can. And you got to do the best with it. We've got to understand that God is the owner and we are just stewards. He has entrusted with us all this goodness. We are vessels of his. Some of us to honor and some of us to dishonor. But you still are a vessel of the Lord. In other words, what I'm trying to say, all of us not going to be doctors and lawyers. Some of us got to be garbage men. And some of us got to work the little grass cutting and landscaping and all the rest of it. But if you do it as unto the Lord will bless you. And just because you are a doctor don't mean you getting into heaven any quicker than the garbage man. You got to be a tither. Got to be a tither. You got to give. I understand that if you don't tithe, you're robbing God. And when you start robbing God, you place yourself under the curse. One man has said the curse is nothing but God's love frowning. You see, God is a just God. And he can't look on evil and not punish evil. God hates sin. No matter how you look at it, people are calling sin now sickness. They're trying to get away from what sin really is, but sin will destroy your soul. And sin has wages. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I don't know where you stand in this, but My Bible tells me in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You don't have to live in sin. You can come out of your sin. You can confess it. And the word confess means that you agree with God. And a lot of us like to confess our sins, but we do it like this. Lord, I want you to forgive me for everything that I have ever done. No. You got to be specific. You got to call it out. The Holy Spirit going to say, well, I understand you want me to forgive you, but for what? You know, Lord, all the stuff I've done. The Holy Spirit said, no, you got to tell me specifically what it is that you have done. If you want to be blessed by God and not live under the curse, then you got to make the decision to be blessed. God told Joshua in Joshua 1:7-9, he said that if you want to be successful and prosperous, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to observe everything that I've said, and you're going to have to be an individual who does, not only observes and hears attentively, but you're going to have to do whatever I say. See, a lot of us are believing Christians but not doing Christians. See, that's where we mess up. See, you if you believe, you got to do. If you don't do, then you don't believe. If you have faith, it's got to have some works. And your works have got to be produced by your faith. So faith and works go together. You can't have one without the other. If you're going to praise God when you come down, you got to live right. You can't be up here praising God and shouting all over the place and then cussing one another out. You got to live right. If you want to be blessed by God, he's going to bless your character and your integrity. He's going to bless who you are in your heart and not who you are on the outside. Many of us are about nothing but form and fashion. Just form and fashion. We the sharpest folks on earth. We drive the biggest cars on earth. We trying to stay now in the baddest apartment on earth. Nowhere to park that Mercedes. God's wrath is merely his frowning on the injustices that we perpetrate against one another. And let me tell you, it's time out for blaming the white man for everything that we mess up. Oh, no. We don't need no special entrance into college. No, you don't know who you are. Don't you know that you are descendants from kings and queens and princesses? Why are you going around begging for this and begging for that and wanting to be on welfare and every other kind of fare? A king ain't on no welfare. I'll starve before I go on welfare. We didn't know what welfare was when we came. But if you heard the lady on the thing, she said that I didn't even know I was poor. I know I didn't have but one pair of shoes and it had holes in it. I knew that I could look up the roof and the rain came through. I could look down in the floor and see the chickens running under. I knew I didn't have but one pair of pants and one little red sweater to wear the shirt. But I didn't know I was poor. I didn't find that out until I got to Sociology 101. And they told me that if you didn't have this and didn't have that, that you were poor. But I thought I was rich as anybody else. Because John, who lived across the street, his daddy was rich. My mama was poor, but I played with John's stuff. When his daddy bought something, he bought it for both of us. Because he knew my mama couldn't buy it, but we played. But we had community then. And if you want to be blessed in the city, you got to create community again. If you want to be blessed in the country, you got to create community again. And then another thing, a principle that is important, is that you don't go to college to learn how to work for somebody else. You go to college to learn how to work for yourself. Then listen to what he said. Moses said, you all, if you're going to be the head and not the tail, you cannot be a borrower. You got to be a lender. Oh, I wish I had a witness right here. But that means you got to learn how to save your money. You can't spend every dime on the latest fashion. You can't spend every dime on that old raggedy car trying to soup it up. You can't spend every dime. On drugs and all kind of other stuff. You got to learn how to save your money, because if you don't, then you're going to be the borrower and not the lender. Let me end by telling you this. America is going down. And one of the reasons she's going down is because she has now become the borrower. Our trade deficit is greater now than it has ever been. This year alone, it's a deficit of over $200 billion. And you know where we're getting the money from? China. China building up its military. China is exporting all kinds of nuclear weapons and everything else. And China is bringing more goods over here through Walmart and all the rest than any other nation in the world. And we are sitting around enjoying that little cheap mess that comes from Walmart. I bet some of you all can't wait to get to Walmart just as soon as you leave here. And all we're doing is mortgaging our future to another nation. And it's coming in our lifetime if we don't change our ways. Listen, finally, what Moses is saying. He's saying in your government, you got to have righteous folks. You got to have godly folks. All this stuff about being politically correct. Oh, no. I got to be able to call on the name of Jesus. I'm sorry. I never forget. I went to a meeting, and some of my Jewish friends, and I have a lot of Jewish friends and people of all kind of denominations. I have some Muslim friends and all the rest of it, but Jesus is my best friend. And I went to that little meeting, and they wanted me to pray. And so I got up to pray, and they hit me on the side, saying, now, you can't say nothing about Jesus in your prayer. And you know I have to talk about Jesus. And so when I got through praying, I said as loud as I could, in the name When I got through, I said to the Jews, y'all pray to who y'all want to, and you come to my meeting, and you're going to pray the way you want to pray. And my Muslim brothers, you pray to Allah and Muhammad and all the rest of them, so I'm praying to my God. And let me tell you about my God. My God is the creator of the ends of the world. Let me tell you about my God. My God has brought me from a long way. Let me tell you about my God. I know who I am because I've got a God that loves me. God bless you and God keep you. Mm-hmm.